Okay, some of you completely don't know what Alzan was saying when she was talking about manifestations and demons and things like that. For those of you that don't know what a manifestation is, it's when something, someone, a little bit more unfriendly, a little bit more evil, interrupts your schedule. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and I'm actually going to explain it and explain what the Bible says about deliverance and the evil, because that is a reality. But let's just come before God and let's just invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus, that at your name demons flee. Thank you, Lord, that at your name the sick get healed, Father. Thank you that at your name, as we heard, Lord, things happen, Father, because you've given, Lord Jesus, God, you've given your Son all authority. All authority belongs to your Son, Jesus. And we thank you that tonight we can celebrate that, Lord. Thank you that we can celebrate together with the team the goodness that you have done and your glory that you've revealed and lives that have been changed, Lord. And Father, we just bless you, Father. We bless you and we glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So the Bible says that God has given Jesus a name above every other name. You can actually read it if you can put up the scripture there for us, Lizandre. In Philippians 2 verse 9. It says, yet it was because of this that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So it says that because of Christ's sacrifice, because of what he has done, the writer of Philippians in verse 1 to 8, he explains, he says Jesus was a king. Jesus was God. He was equal to God the Father. And he came to earth and he came to be as one like us. You know, he humbled himself as a king, as a God, to come to earth to be like normal people. You know, firstly, that is in itself amazing. The God of the universe humbling himself, the God of all mankind, the one who created us, to come to this earth and to be like us. And then he goes on and he says, but not only did he become like us, he humbled himself, and through obedience unto death, he went to the cross. He went to the cross to die for us. You know, so the very foundation, we're talking about authority and the authority that God has for us. We're going to talk about just taking the authority in our own lives and the thoughts and the things that stops us from intimacy with God and stops us from enjoying God and the things that he has for us, and especially as believers. And I know some of you, if you've ever experienced the moment you came to God, it's like everything was just difficult. Or just maybe it was just seasons, you know, where, you know, you thought, okay, now I'm coming to God and things are going to be easy. But I want to say to you, sometimes it's not. You know, because the Bible says, the word says that the enemy is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. And at the same scripture, it says that we must resist the enemy. So tonight, the message that I'm sharing with us is that evil is real. You know, and it's not a philosophical concept. But here it says that at the point of authority, Jesus humbled himself. And I want to say to you that is the key to authority, is humility. Because you cannot, pride and authority are mutually exclusive. You cannot have pride and have the authority of Christ. You cannot work in both of them. Because God, in his mercy, protects us. You can go to the next scripture. Mark chapter 9 verse 20. I want to show to you that deliverance and the demonic is real. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what scripture teaches. In Mark chapter 9 verse 20 it says, and they brought to him a boy they brought the boy to him. The boy had had fits. So they brought the boy to him, to Jesus. And it says, when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Luke chapter 9, verse 42. When he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. Okay, so Jesus brought healing by casting out a demonic spirit. Casting out demons is actually, if you look at the Great Commission, it's one of the three commandments that Christ has given us. So we're talking here about, you know, not a sort of a side issue. We're talking about something that God has called all of us to. All of us must walk in the authority that God has for us. But do you notice in that scripture, in that story, that that is not just a philosophical concept that Jesus is explaining there? Do you see the picture? A boy coming, falling to the ground, foaming at the mouth. That is not natural. I don't know if anyone thinks that's natural. That is supernatural. You know, but God has given us the authority. And in the Gospels, Jesus came to cast out demons, to see people being set free. Isn't that exciting? I remember, I read once, Derek Prince. Some of you might know who that is. He's a theologian. And once he was at a seminar. A seminar with lots of theologians. And they were discussing all kinds of things. And then they were talking about this issue, this old issue of the demonic and deliverance. And many of the theologians stepped up and they presented papers and they said, no, but, you know, deliverance was when Jesus, you know, was on earth. And other people said, no, you know, deliverance is not, you know, it's just philosophical. You know, I don't know how you see that if you look at that scripture, but it's not real. You know, it's not like demons are real. It's just a way to explain it. So eventually Derek Prince walks up and he presents his paper and nobody believed, and he saw the people were, you know, because he was saying, you know, but the demons are real and we called to cast out demons, to see people being set free. So at a point he realized he's not getting through to the people, they're not listening. So he stopped the meeting and said, okay, can we pray? Closed their eyes. And he said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let every demon manifest in this place. And those theologians began to manifest. Demons all over. They started casting out demons all over. So the people were convinced that deliverance is for today. And that is the case. So after tonight, we're gonna pray a prayer. For some of you that still don't believe, that's just a joke. It's just to see if you guys are listening to me. My laptop's frozen, so I can't get to my notes, so I'll just preach as the Holy Spirit leads. Can we go to the next scripture? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Not all who sound religious are really godly people. They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't go to heaven. Isn't that scary? They may refer to me as Lord, but still won't go to heaven. For the decisive question is whether they obey my Father in heaven. Next scripture, please. Oh, that's it. At the judgment, many will tell me, Lord, Lord, we told others about you and used your name to cast out demons and to do many other great miracles. But I will reply, you have never been mine. Go away, for your deeds are evil. Okay, so this scripture speaks about people coming to God in the last days at the day of judgment, and they saying, Lord, we were involved with ministries. It talks about three specific ministries. We were involved with miracle ministries. We were involved with prophetic ministries and we were involved with deliverance ministries. But still, Jesus will tell these people, even though you used my name to cast out demons, I never knew you. You were never mine. I like the way that the New Living Translation says it. You never belonged to me. And the key there is very simple. Is Christ, God wants intimacy with us. He wants to know us. And I want to actually just define what I mean by intimacy, because, you know, some of us believe that when we talk about intimacy, it means that you must get emotional with God and you must experience God. And all of that is true, and God wants to reach our emotions. But you know what? There's a fleshly thing going around in the church that says, you know, you must experience God in your soul. But you know what? God is spirit. And what I'm getting at is Jesus simply saying, before he left this earth, he said, this is the one that loves me, the one that obeys my commandments. The one that obeys my commandments, he's the one who loves me. So I want to say that if your intimacy does not result in you obeying Jesus' commandments, then it's not real intimacy. Then it's not biblical intimacy. Because biblical intimacy will always result in us obeying God. And I'm very passionate about this whole scripture because there's so much abuse. So much going on in the world where people, you know, do things and they call themselves Christians and, you know, they've got these ministries, but they don't have relationship with Christ. They don't do things out of a deep encounter with Christ. You know, they do things out of ritual experience. It was such a mind opener. Just going to Kenya, I spoke to some people this morning. Went to another African country, I'm not sure, Liberia. And their experience was exactly the same. But we went to Kenya a couple of weeks ago. When we got there, and we were sitting with a group of pastors at a pastors' conference, and we were sharing it. It was really amazing, so upbuilding, as we encouraged them, they encouraged us. Really people of God, following God with all their hearts. It's very exciting to see what they're doing in Kenya. And then they said to us, but you know, what must they do? Because it's all these churches, you know, they've all running after miracles. You know, and the people, the crowds go to the miracles. You know, so it's one of the questions that the pastors just opened up and said to us. And then they began to tell us what happens in these churches. And they say that there's certain services where they drink oil. They call it oil drinking services. You know, and other services, it was ridiculous thing. The one is a banana service, and it's really, you cannot imagine. But people would do all these funny stuff to provoke miracles, you know, and then it would happen. Miracles would happen, and people would, you know, but they said that these churches, on average, they last for, you know, about 5 years, and then they die, and then there's another funny thing and another funny movement, and it's all, the movement is called by, you know, the funny experience that they have. If it's an oil drinking church, then it's the oil drinking ministries of this. Weird stuff happening in all over, you know, and especially in Nigeria. If you've been to Nigeria, you'll see that there's a funny where people do sort of what do they call it? Water spirits, and they mix it with Christianity, you know. And then you know they you know see miracles happen, but it's God is not involved, you know. And the scary thing is, you know, they said to us, but you know, is that the case in South Africa as well? And I actually had to think about it a bit, and I actually thought, and I said to them, it is the case. It is the case that, you know, we find the same stuff in South Africa. It's just in a different form. It's just a bit different. But people follow ministries and they follow miracles, but not God. They don't follow true intimacy with God. But I'm really passionate in the sense that, you know, many, many true believers and true people that have a relationship with God steer clear of the miraculous. And they steer clear of, you know, divine healing. They steer clear of deliverance because of the abuse. But that is also not the way. You know, so the enemy's, you know, got this thing figured out. You know, especially like, that's just such a good example. The churches that last for 5 years, and then, you know, they close down. So what happens is the people get confused. You know, what's up with this Christianity? Same here in South Africa. So what do Christians do is they respond, go to the other side, no miracles, no deliverance, no healing. But that is not God's plan. God's purpose is for us to walk in the miracles, to walk in the healings and the casting out of demons, but to do it in obedience, to do it in the place that He has for us and He's called us to. And that is what I want to call tonight is prophetic obedience. When we hear God, it was so amazing over the weekend. Some of you joined us with the fasting and the praying around Ronnebosch. As we just said, Lord, we want to see Your kingdom come. We want to hear what is on Your heart. Because you know what, yet so far we don't do things that are good ideas. We listen to God, we listen to what's on His heart, and then we go. That is called prophetic obedience, to listen to the Master. To say, Master, what is on Your heart? What do You want us to do in this moment? And we know that if we do that, God is going to bless us. God's going to open up the doors. God's going to send the multitudes to us. But it's so encouraging this weekend, just as God just gave us promise after promise, you know, of you know, just abundance coming. Pastor Fred said this weekend that this is a new season for us, the shofar. We're going into a season of abundance. I don't know about you, but I get very excited, you know, if God says that to us. It's abundance. Abundance is coming. We had so many pictures of rain, you know, and just the sound of rain coming, like with Elijah, when he saw the cloud, he saw just the cloud as of a fist. And then he said, but the abundance of rain is coming, and that's what God is saying to us. He says, the abundance of rain is coming. We've got such expectation that God is going to come. And the miracles will come, and the things will come, but we're not focusing on that, we're focusing on God. He's going to add it to us. The things are going to happen, demons are going to flee. I'm telling you, in our services, in the worship, we're going to have worship service without messages. We're just going to worship God, and then people are just going to get set free. You know, captives are going to be set free, and that's such an amazing place. We're going to be in the times of Acts again. You know, with Jesus. Jesus said, you know, like you saw that picture of Him casting out the demons. Jesus said, we're going to do greater things. And His church is coming to a place where we're going to see that again. We're going to see it en masse here in Cape Town, in Ronnebosch. I'm saying it prophetically because I believe it with all of my heart. I believe it's going to happen. So we must have an expectation to see God is going to do it. We come in line. We say, Lord, we are aligning ourselves. Because some of you, Holy Spirit showed me, are not aligned yet. You must come into line because, and this is a prophetic word. You're going to begin to see people walking in great authority around you. And as you see that, you're going to know that they're connected to God. They're in line with His prophetic season. They're obeying Him. And then you're going to see things. And that's going to be your sign that you must come back and come back into line with obedience and the obedience that God has called us to. So tonight I'm talking about that. I'm talking about how do we come to prophetic obedience so that we can have the authority that Christ has purchased for us. Because that's what that scripture says, Philippians 2 verse 9. It says that Jesus has been exalted. He's the highest that you can get in terms of authority. No earthly authority can compare to Him. And that same authority gives to us as believers. And that is so exciting. So let's look at the first point. Is bridle your tongue. James, the book of James. James, the brother of Jesus. He writes and then actually the whole book, the whole four or five chapters of James is about this very topic. Is about authority. And he explains, we're going to look at a couple of things he says, but he explains things that hinder our authority. He explains, what do we do to come into line with the authority that Christ already purchased for us on the cross? And then we're going to apply it to yourself. But the first point of walking in authority is bridling your tongue. And that is a place where James says that, you know, he uses the picture of a big ship. He says there's a ship and the ship has a rudder. But that rudder is such a small part of the ship. Yet that rudder steers the ship. as it goes. So he says, your tongue, if your tongue is not under control, he goes on to say, if your tongue is not under control, then he says that it's your religion, your Christianity, your Christian faith is useless. That's how, you know, serious he is about this. He says, if your tongue is not under control, in other words, if you say and you speak things that are evil in nature, he says that that bitter waters and sweet waters cannot come from the same fountain. In other words, you cannot bless someone and curse someone at the same time. Now, so if your mouth is full of cursing, you know, then God cannot give you, He cannot release His authority on you. And I want to say, you know, because cursing sounds hectic. You know, it sounds like, you know, we're performing witchcraft and we're cursing people. But cursing is simply just speaking negative. Cursing is just speaking something out of the flesh over someone that is not from God. And we're not called as believers to speak negatively. We're called to speak upbuilding. We're supposed to build each other up with the words of our mouth. And unfortunately, because we do not have this right as believers, we break down and we say things rashly and we say divisive things. God cannot release His authority upon us, because if He does that, we'll destroy each other. If He gives us the authority that He wants to give us. Because you know what? When Christ curses the fig tree dies on the spot. You know, and we're not there, but that's the authority that Christ wants to give us. You know, He wants to give us the ability to command mountains to move and they move. You know, and I really believe that God wants to bring us to a place of great authority. And some of us are going to get there soon. Next point. Living from conviction. You know, the amazing thing is Jesus said that the Holy Spirit must come so that He can be your helper. And the first thing Jesus says about the Holy Spirit, He says He's the Spirit of conviction. He will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. You know, and it's an amazing place where you know the Holy Spirit as the one that convicts you. That you don't wait for your small group leader, you know, or the zone coach, or the pastor, or someone to tell you to change things. But you are connected with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, stop doing that. Stop listening to this music. It's not good for you. He convicts you. You know, we people, we like rules. You know, firstly, you know, before we saved, we rebel against rules. But then the funny thing is, when we become believers, we like rules. We want to live, you know, with rules. Because you know what? With rules, you can sort of see as close, you know, as possible. You can come to the line. You know, and you just sort of, you know. But you know what? When you're in that place where you try to get to, how close can I get to the line? How close can I get to, you know, to partying or drinking? You know, what's the furthest I can get? When you start to ask those questions, I want to say to you, you're at the wrong place, because you've already missed the Holy Spirit's conviction. God doesn't want us to live like that. He doesn't want to say to us, you're not allowed to do this, you know, now we live according to this rule and that. That's why Jesus came, to abolish the law, so that we can live the law of liberty. We live according to our heart's convictions. So, you know, I've just noticed just in church and different things that people ask me, and I assume it's a general thing with other leaders, but people asking me, can I do this or can I not do this? And I'm just saying, what is the Holy Spirit convicting you of? And of course there's morals. And of course there's things that Jesus said. Jesus says if you just hate your brother, it's like committing murder. You know, so of course we're not throwing out the word. We're saying Jesus is the truth. The word is alive. But we must live according to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We must really come back as believers to that place. But it's so crucial in terms of our authority. And the authority that God has for us, that we learn to respond as He leads. Amen. Let's look at the next point. My laptop's still not responding. Building a name. If you can go to the next slide. Proverbs 22 verse 1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 1a says, a good name is better than precious ointment. So it talks about a place where we as believers have names. It says that, remember when we started out, we said that Christ had a name and His name was highly exalted. His name was lifted up. And now it talks about us as individuals. We can have a name that the spiritual realm recognizes. Now look at this scripture. Acts chapter 19. In the context just of Acts chapter 19 is, you know, one of the great revivals of the scripture where massive miracles happened. You know, it says, you know, when Paul went out, he just took his handkerchief and he threw it on people and people got healed. You know, and it says that his shadow was cast on people and the people, you know, that were lame just jumped up as they healed. So look at what it says here. It also happened. Verse 13, it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, over them who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? They didn't recognize these guys. We know Paul, we know Jesus, but who are you? And it says, and the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them. Can you imagine? Seven guys. This guy leaps on them. This is like, you know, one of those scary movies, you know. Next verse. And he mastered all of them and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Can you imagine that? That is a scary scene. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now the people began to understand something. There's something in the authority of Jesus. And look what happened. Next verse. And fear fell upon them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled or greatly honored. So something happened in that revival. You know, and the thing is about a revival, and I've just been thinking about it just over the weekend because it's just been God saying it all over, you know. It's just, you know, we just get promises and words and visions just that God is, He's so eager. But you know what revival means? It means to revive the cross. It's to come back to the cross of Jesus Christ. We're not waiting for revival. It's not something that we sort of, we like, you know, looking at the scriptures and we're waiting and we're waiting and waiting, and then suddenly one day revival happens. You know, and nothing to do with us. Now, revival is simply when believers decide we've had enough of our lives. We have enough of having the world and enjoying the pleasures of the world. But we want to say, Lord, we want to go for you all out. We want to return to the cross. You know what? That's when revival happens. You know what? Revival can start here, tonight, if we choose it in our hearts. If we make the decision, it's just a hearts thing. You know, it's just a decision saying, Lord, I'm going to do anything. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see your kingdom come. When we come to that place, that is revival. And then it will explode. Things will happen. You know, the masses will begin to come to Christ. They'll begin to see the mighty miracles. Look at what the people said there. Fear came over all the people. Can you imagine fear coming over the whole of Cape Town? Can you imagine that? Isn't that exciting? People starting to fear. They don't want to go to pubs because they're fearing. You know, and they see these people walking around and nothing stops them. They move and everything submits under them. When they come and they say, that massive poster of Mavericks that's sexually immoral, we command it in the name of Jesus to come down, and it comes down. Do you know what? People are going to fear God and they're going to return to God. when these people begin to say, we're gonna go for the kingdom. We want to connect into God's heart. Because you know what? That is His heart. It's for us to connect into Him and to obey His commandments. So there's a place where we build a name in Christ. The moment that Jesus sent out His disciples, long before he got crucified and sent the Holy Spirit, He said to them, go and heal the sick, cast out demons. And He gave them authority to do it. Then remember, they came back, they were so excited. They were like the Congo team, you know, sharing with Jesus. Jesus, look, the demons listened to us. Yeah, it was so exciting. You know, and people got healed. It's so exciting. Then Jesus said to them, don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Isn't that exciting? And that phrase in the Hebrew for written in the Lamb's Book of Life means simply that your name is recognized in the heavenlies. Your name is recognized by God, but also in the heavenlies. So there's a place, you know, where the spiritual realm begins to recognize you. I never forget Kenny's dad. He shared a testimony. For those of you that don't know, Kenny's dad is a Dutch Reformed minister, and he believes in what we shared. By the way, very few churches believe this. Very few, even though it's like the, as I said earlier, it's like one of the three commandments that Christ gave us before He died. He said, like, you know, before He went to heaven, He said, do these three things. Now, so few people, you know, believe in this. But he believes in this, and he really, you know, does great work, you know, in the Dutch Reformed Church in bringing people to a place of freedom. And he testified the other day, because he does lots of prayer and he casts out demons. And he shared the other day with us that someone phoned him the other day from Wellington. Now, he's in Worcester and Rawsonville. So Wellington is quite far away. And there was a person that had a demon, manifested a demon, that had never met Dominic Andre, never seen him, never came into contact with him. And he manifested. You know, this, now other people standing around him. And then he said, don't tell Dominic Andre, a demon. Far away, he's never met Dominic Andre. But now this demon says, you know, don't take me to Dominic Andre. Now can you imagine that? His name is recognized in the heavens. You know, and that's a place that God wants us all to come to. You know, where God, when the spiritual realm recognizes Sukuma's name, and James's name, and Ian's name, and Penno's name. Because we walk in the authority and the obedience. And I want to close off, before we're going to pray and worship, by saying this. And I hope you saw it throughout the message tonight, is the key to authority is very simple. Very, very simple. It's obedience. It's listening to God, hearing what is on God's heart. That's why intercession is so important. You cannot miss intercession. Because how much you know what is on God's heart for us? Kathleen is excited there. She's passionate about intercession. So, we must listen to God and obey what He says. And then go back to God and listen and obey. Listen and obey and listen and obey. That's how we grow in authority. It's very simple. Can you all stand with me? Ben, if you can come up. A couple of weeks ago, with the Compassion Ministry that Inga's heading up for us, we went to the old age home just around the corner. And I want to come back to what I said earlier. Very few people are doing this. And I've just been noticing just the last couple of weeks just how oppressed people are around us. But like all over us. All over around us. You know, and we're like excited Christians and we're all set free. You know, and we know Jesus and we're excited, but we don't even notice them. But they're just around us and they're so suffering. But we've got the answer. It's so simple. It's just simply as saying, in the name of Jesus, leave. But we don't notice it. We don't see it. You know, and I'm so excited to know that place because, you know, we're talking about the encounters and the tools that God has given us as a church. And I really believe that this is one of the tools that He's given us. It's a truth encounter. When we can go in as believers and walk up to someone and say, in the name of Jesus, be set free. Be healed. And the demons flee. You know, but going to the old age home, and we went to the frail care unit, and some of the people served the people, help feeding the people, and just practically loving the people. But you know what I realized? Is the practical side of it is not the biggest need. The biggest need is the spiritual side. But some of these ladies are so oppressed. You look at them and you see them and you see them. It's almost like, you know, you understand what the word says when people are in prisons. They're in prisons. It's literally like these people, these precious, beautiful old ladies that have lived long lives, they're captive in these bodies. The one lady I spoke to, I would speak to and she would respond. And then suddenly, mid-sentence, she would stop and it was like something else was taking over. And then eventually you get back to her, but, you know, she was so oppressed. And I really wish, and when we go again to the old age home, we must take in the band. And Stefan must come with his guitar and must bring the presence of God into that place to see people being set free. Because that's God's heart. And the other day we went to the hospital in Grootegeluk, just around the corner once again. And so many broken people, so many captive people, and it's as simple as just the name of Jesus. Because that's what Christ has given us. The name which is above every other name. He's given us the authority in our lips to speak, to say, in the name of Jesus. And then, now that's why it's so important that we watch the words of our mouths. It's because God had designed it in the way that the authority lies in our mouths. We must speak it. And that's why it's so important when you pray in your personal capacity that you don't whisper or you don't pray in your mind. You speak the words because that's how God ordered it. And I really feel this is a word for some of us, but you're having quiet time in your mind, but it's not effective because you must speak it. And that's when faith gets released. That's when the enemy hears you and trembles. You know the demons tremble when they see believers? I've heard so many testimonies of people in witchcraft, Satanism, coming out of Satanism, getting born again. And they say when they see a born again Christian, believer, following God, coming down the street, they can see as clear as daylight. They can see there's a whole light around them. Born again Christians. And I remember Pastor Sias testified once. He said, one of the ladies that came out of witchcraft, she said, You spiritual believers will never know the authority that you have. You know, because they throw curses on us and it doesn't work. Bounces back. It doesn't, you know, it comes back upon them. But the authority that Christ has given us is amazing. And we're going to see amazing stuff as soon as we come to Christ. Say, Lord, we want to see truth encounters. But tonight, as we come to God, I really believe that God wants to firstly deliver us. He wants to deliver us from thoughts, accusations. I believe that there's so many of us here that you believe lies and the enemy has lied to you and he said things like you're not worthy. Especially even in worship, as you worship, it's like you cannot enter into that presence of God. And some of you have been thinking that the lies that you hear, it's yourself. And you're doubting in yourself. But I want to say to you, what you're experiencing is not yourself. It's a corporate thing. It's an attack on us as a church. Because you know what? The enemy knows that when there's a threat against him. He knows when he sees believers standing up and they're going into the neighborhoods and they're praying. They're saying, Lord, we want to see your kingdom come. Then he knows if he's not going to resist them, his kingdom is going to suffer violence. That's what Jesus said. So, because of that, there's lots of resistance. And some of you have been experiencing it and you've gone back into a place of introspection. Lord, what have I done wrong? What sin is in my life? You know, what must I do? You know, I'm trying my best to be a good believer, but I'm feeling all these attacks, you know? And that is exactly what the enemy wants, but that's exactly what you shouldn't do. Because God doesn't want us to focus on ourselves. He wants us to focus on the kingdom. So the opportunity tonight is to say, Lord, we're taking authority of those voices. We're recognizing those voices for what they are. They're not from you, God. And we're going to do that right now. So I want us all just to come before God and just to speak to God. Say, Lord, what are the lies that I've believed in? What are the things that the enemy has whispered in my ear but I've not resisted? And Christ is going to deliver you. Some of you have believed those things. It's become strongholds, but God is going to deliver you tonight. He's going to set you free in worship. In worship, Christ is sovereignly going to come. The Bible talks about the finger of God. When the finger of God comes, He delivers us. There's freedom. There's freedom. And God is in this place. Christ is in this place. His presence is in this place tonight. And He's going to deliver us. So just where you're standing, just spend time with God. Speak to God. I'm going to pray for some people now. But you begin to just become honest with God. Say, Lord, I'm going to walk in my complete freedom. Just begin to speak to God.